Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well and recovered from all the excitement of Wednesday night. Anyone in the UK knows exactly what I'm talking about. And it was so great to see loads of messages across Instagram and obviously in the Sober Club from people saying, oh, wow, that's the first time I've ever, you know, really celebrated, and certainly celebrated watching the footy and not had a hangover the next day. Because, you know, amazingly enough, these things do not have to go together. There were also quite a few people who said, I can't deny it was tense. You know, as we all know, it was tense. And in that moment, my thoughts did turn to, oh, I could really use a drink right now. But, you know, people who were just a few weeks into ditching the booze sort of admitted that they'd had that fleeting thought. And it's so fascinating, isn't it? Because our unconscious minds, you know, try to support us. And they know that it knows we're seeking pleasure. It knows we want to feel how we felt in the past, which is, you know, celebratory or whatever. And so, of course, the way we do that is to have a drink. And yeah, as we know, it's all about retraining our brain, isn't it? And those new neural pathways that that we have to form. So anyways, big congrats to you if that was the first time for you that you've managed a, you know, real celebration and had a great social time in whatever way that means for you, without the booze. I'm really thrilled that today on the podcast, going to be chatting about all of that stuff with the Sober Club member, Cindy Johnston from Australia. I love it when we can get people on who've actually, in Cindy's case, had a really similar kind of experience, similar journey to mine. So it's going to be really nice to hear from her. And also for this episode, we've teamed up with Drinks, who are the only range of British alcohol-free beers and ciders. Really amazing business. They're the only drinks business to own a cool vacuum distillation technology, which makes it really unique. And my son is loving the cider, because it's quite something, isn't it, to be able to get an alcohol-free version of cider that really tastes good. Anyways, on that note, talking of great alcohol-free drinks, I saw a piece in the Mail talking, it was Jenny Murray's column, and of course we all know and love Jenny Murray, you know, from the radio and the telly and everything. And she talks about the fact that she is calling time on alcohol, and the fact that she is, as she put it in her words, she was having a meal with a friend, and she admitted that she is trying to give it up, were her words. And she says, you know, I in the past, you know, I've tried, but I've always given up. The yo-yo binging again has come back. But she says, this time I'm determined, I'll give up completely, never again wake up feeling sick and tired. Okay, well, that's my first point to you then, Jenny, if you're listening. Don't use the phrase give up, because you're not giving anything up. You are literally only gaining. And then later on in the column, she talks about how, you know, she would have a drink, particularly over the last 16 months with the stay at home and the Zooms and all of that. And then she would have a glass of wine. And then, of course, when the sun's gone over the yard arm, you know, she'd have another one. And then it's two, three, and then it's four. And on and on. And then in order to try and have a few less calories, she'd turn to vodka and slimline tonic. And then you're on to a double and on and on. And she says here, it'll be hard as opening up continues with Freedom Day on July the 19th, heralding the return of parties, weddings and reunions. But it feels right to quit completely. Well, you know, all the best to you, Jenny. I'm really thrilled that you've brought this article out and that you've shared this. The more people that talk about this stuff, the better. Fantastic. I would just love to give an opportunity, Jenny, to encourage you to just really embrace it, rather than focusing on what you're giving up. Focus on what you're gaining. She says, I've tried some alcohol-free beers, wines, mixers, none of which tasted pleasant, and it felt like drinking decaffeinated coffee. What is the point if it doesn't give you a kick? So slimline tonic with lemon and ice, or a spiced Virgin Mary, do me fine. Oh, Jenny. You got some podcasts to catch up on. You really have. Come on, girl. Keep the ritual. Change the ingredients. Number one, don't have slimline drinks. I'm very bossy this week, aren't I? Don't have slimline drinks. Just don't do that. Just don't. Just choose one of the amazing alcohol-free drinks available to you of just about every persuasion, which, you know, is gonna help you to, as you put it, resist temptation. So anyway, there's my little open letter to Jenny Murray. And, you know, on that note, as I say, we're going to be talking to Richard, the founder of Drinks, a little bit later on. Just want to remind you that we've still got a space or two on our retreat, Sober by the Sea, Visioning the New You. It's all about what you want for your life, focusing on what's next, focusing on your purpose, your what it is you want to upscale in your life. You know, the whole self-care piece, the creating the toolkit of resources that work for you. And that's in Southend-on-Sea in Essex. And we've got one on the 25th of July. I think that one's sold out. We've got one on the 21st of August. Just go to thesoberclub.com, click on events. We'll put some more dates in as well. These are kind of afternoon, early evening events, very, very small, very intimate. And happy to put some more dates on and to do some one-to-one coaching days as well. Some people don't want to kind of do their stuff over several weeks. They just want to hit it and deep dive and do everything kind of all at once. And that's completely fine. So you know where to go for that info, thesoberclub.com/events. I've also got a retreat coming up at Champneys in September. I'm not sure if there's still space, but I'm guessing there probably is. So check that out as well. It'd just be so great, wouldn't it, to meet people in person, to be properly going out again, you know, out. It'll be great. Anyways, let's hear from Cindy. I'm so delighted that my guest is Cindy Johnston, who is from 2 hours south of Sydney, Sober Club member and now doing some amazing things in the sober world. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you, Jenny. Good morning.
Oh, yeah,
good
well, my evening, your morning when we record this. Thank you so much for joining us. I just thought it'd be really nice to have a little catch up and hear a bit about your journey. Obviously, I know you through the Sober Club and I've seen some of the stuff you're doing. And of course, it was about a year ago, wasn't it, that you were going to be coming to London. And in fact, I'd put on an event just for you.
You did. And guess what? It's a year ago today I would have arrived in London.
It? How about you? Bless you. How frustrating. Oh, when will you come?
Well, as soon as I can, as soon as they open up the travel and, you know, life gets back to whatever normal is.
Yeah. Oh, I really hope so. So anyways, before we get into all of the stuff that you're doing now, just back up then and tell us a bit about your story, your drinking career.
Okay. Well, it's quite a lengthy one, actually. It goes back over 40 years. So I started drinking as a teenager, like a lot of people do. And ran about 13, 14 at high school, mainly just to fit in, one of the cool kids type of thing.
You know, is that quite common in Oz? Just you know, I mean, it is here, but is it in Australia too?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Amongst my peers and at my school and other schools, it seemed to be quite common. Mm. So, and I think it still is a little bit these days with kids just trying to find their boundaries and, you know, just sort of do what they're doing as teenagers. But that's when it really all started. So after that, I joined but it was only like weekends, you know, binge drinking and, yeah, so that sort of thing. But then I joined the Navy at 19 and that, you know, was a whole new experience and a whole new culture as well. So that was a big drinking culture. So,
was it? Interesting.
Yeah, so with the sailors, mostly weekends as well. Once again, binge drinking and always functioning, except always had hangovers on weekends and then you're back to work on Monday and it all starts again. And I was in the Navy for 13 years, so that was, constantly, always drinking. It was just part of life, part of your culture and once again, like everywhere, alcohol is such a big part of our culture and everything that we do, you know, celebrations, commiserations, as you know, everything else. So drinking had always been part of my life. It's what we did everyone that I knew drank. Mm. And it was like you were the odd one out if you didn't. Still a little bit like today, but I think that's changing. And it wasn't until I think it really became a problem for me was when my mum died back in 2001. And then it became a coping mechanism for me. So it wasn't just something I did on weekends with friends as a social thing. And my husband was also in the Navy. And right at the time when my mum passed unexpectedly, he was deployed overseas for 4 months. And then I had two small children under five. And my mum and family all live in another state in Queensland, so I was rather isolated and on my own as well. So that all coincided within the same week of her passing, him leaving for 4 months, and then I just went into a big downhill spiral, I suppose. I didn't realise at the time, but depression really sunk in with grief as well. And I did, so that was 20 years ago this month, so I did go to my doctor at one point. I did say that, look, I think I'm drinking too much. And because it was like after the kids went to bed at nighttime, that was my time and that was my numbing time, I realised.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't realise at the time. And, so that was my way of coping with everything. And, and my doctor was like, no. And I obviously everyone lies about how much they drink. And at the time,
of course, but doctors know that.
I knew I was drinking a bottle of wine at night back then. But I just said it was a couple of glasses, you know. So,
But the fact that you're mentioning it, you know, the fact that you mentioned it to a doctor, you know, really what we need, don't we, is that doctors, you know, the alarm bells ring straight away. Because if someone raises it, it's clearly a thing for them, right?
Exactly. But no, they just thought, no, you're fine. So once again, lucky I've done that. And so I just continued. I just thought, okay, well, they say I'm fine. So they put me on antidepressants instead. So,
oh, wow.
So over the next, you know, 15 odd years, antidepressants plus alcohol. I didn't stop the drinking.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? I know I say this all the time, but my goodness, this is still going on because, you know, throwing antidepressants on, you're already, you know, you've got antidepressants and then you're medicating on top of medication and, oh, my goodness, bless you.
So it was just the self-medicating that went on and on and on. So, and, of course, it that really did become a problem, but only to me. And I'd never heard of grey area drinking. So I functioned every day. The children, raised a family, looked after a home. I worked, I volunteered in the community. Was a makeup artist there for a long time. And, you know, life just goes on and you just socialise. But every night comes at 6 o'clock, it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
For me. And just to break that habit. So, like, lots of people in the sober club and out there, 1 o'clock just become, you know, just something that you did every day. And then even when you tried not to, the wine witch, I'm calling.
And then were you like me then, in the sense that you were seemingly functioning fine, but you were actually drinking daily? And then, there was some point, I mean, for me, it was the sort of 3 a.m. wake up where I absolutely hated myself and had a battle every single day with my conscience, as it were.
Absolutely, totally like that. And it went on for years and years and years. And I've always been like a bit of a spiritual type person, as far as I've always believed in the universe and everything happens for a reason and my angels. And then 3 years ago, almost this week, what happened to me was I'd started to develop a rash on my face. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So I went to the doctor and it got worse. And to me, my intuition was just saying, this is the universe saying to you, Cindy, we're putting this on your face to make you pay attention. Yes. So it's nowhere else, it's on your face. Okay, right. So you pay attention. And internally, I was just saying, I've got to give up drinking now. This is what's causing it. So, and my doctor actually, he said it was more of it could have been a life-threatening illness. So that really made me pay attention.
What was it then?
In the end, I was allergic to the ingredients in acrylic nails. I used to always have my nails done.
Oh, how interesting.
I stopped having my nails done, but it took me a long 6 months to find out, basically, all this testing. But I knew inside if I didn't stop drinking, it would stay and it would get worse. So that's when I began this path. So 3 years ago, on, well, this Friday on the 9th is
amazing.
My 3-year anniversary.
Oh, that's so brilliant. Oh, that's so cool. I'm glad I asked you to do this then. So the podcast is out on your anniversary. Very cool.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's lovely. So what was it like for you then, you know, after so many years of drinking? You know, very much ingrained as a habit. Okay, you know, we now know about grey area drinkers. We know that you can stop, but nevertheless, it's still tough, right? Because you've had years and years and years of your unconscious mind telling you that that's what you do to feel better, and that's what you do every night at 6 o'clock, and that's what you do to handle just about any emotion life throws at you.
Yeah, it was really hard. I didn't know where to start. So good old Google. I just Googled, how do you stop drinking? And am I an alcoholic? You know, all those normal questions that we ask. Something did come up, and it kept coming up in my Facebook feed after that I thought, okay, I'm going to bite the bullet and try this. And it was an online course. And it was with a beautiful lady based in the UK. And so I did her 6-week course, but I didn't tell anybody. It was once again that private guilty shame that I thought I was the only one. That was a big thing for me. Nobody else had a drinking problem in the whole wide world. It was just me.
Yeah.
And I now know since, you know, being in the sober club and everywhere else, it's just like, wow. And when I did this course, that was a real big moment for me to realize that I wasn't the only one. So many more people out there.
The game changer,
just
isn't it?
Like me.
The real game changer.
It really was. And then I only just told, I didn't even tell my husband at the time, because he's a drinker and he still drinks, but he manages his. He has an off switch, unlike me. Mm-hmm. I never had an off switch, but like you can relate. So for 6 weeks, this was my daily ritual at nighttime. I'd sort of go into my little quiet area and do my course, and I was really, really diligent about doing it as much as I could. I really wanted to stop, and I really needed the help. And it worked, because what happened was I changed those neural pathways.
Exactly. You've broken that cycle. Brilliant.
And what was a real game changer for me, and it was part of NLP, which I didn't realize at the time, was I have an image in my mind of a woman drinking alcohol, and it was in like a gasoline can. A gas can, we call it petrol over here in Australia. But she was drinking petrol out of a can. And the other image was then her putting that into her car. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, my God, and I hadn't heard of it being called ethanol before. I'm like, oh, my God, alcohol is ethanol. That's what I put in my car. I'm putting that in my body. And that was a real switch for me. And I still think of that these days. And it's funny, when I did my NLP training at the start of this year, I used that as one of my sort of analogies, doing a switch pattern with
Brilliant.
My course members. And one of the other members in the class, she came in the next day and she said, oh, that was so powerful. She said, without realizing it, I went for a glass of wine last night. And she said,
I can drink it. Exactly. It's true. I mean, when we actually, once the scales have come off and we see all of this for what it is, we see that the emperor isn't actually wearing any clothes. It's so sort of obvious to us, isn't it? That alcohol is poison. It is poison. It has zero benefits. But when we're caught up in it, our mind plays so many tricks on us to tell us that even though we know this, it's fine. We can just have one. So what were the hardest times for you over the sort of initial few weeks and months? Were there any times that you found especially tricky?
Actually, yes. When I first stopped, so as I said, the 9th of July, over here we have Christmas in July.
Of course.
My very first weekend was all of my friends. So I called them my boozy girlfriends at the time. They were, yes, we're doing Christmas in July, and it was at the local pub, and yeah, come along. And I'm like, oh, that's a little bit too soon. I think I'll sit this one out. Yeah. So that was the only time I didn't go to anything, because it was just a little bit, as I said, too soon for me to start. And they were starting at 4 p.m. in the afternoon and going through all night. And I'm like, no. And I didn't have the tools. I wasn't equipped to handle it at the time.
Yeah.
And then straight after that, I had a wedding. I had a friend's 50th birthday at, she had a winery tour. So we had to on a booze bus and to a winery tour all day. We went to 4 wineries and that was like the next weekend. And then I had another 50th birthday. There was just so many things all in one month that really challenged me. Mm. But it was like, yes, I did this. And not back then, there wasn't too many alcohol-free
alternatives. Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about the alcohol-free drink scene in Australia.
There wasn't anything, but I did find something that was I could use, I could take on the bus. So I had my one bottle of bubbles for the trip back, and it was fine. And I realised then, oh, well, I can still have a great time. I don't have to be drinking and I don't have to be falling out of the bus like the others. Yeah. And, so I did use what has become through you known as keep the ritual, changing.
Yeah, it makes such a difference. And what about the benefits for you then? What were some of the benefits you saw kicking in even, you know, relatively quickly?
First thing that comes to mind is sleep. I made sleep a priority and I just couldn't believe. After a few days, it only took me about 4 or 5 days to get into a good sleep pattern, but I just found that was just amazing to have a good night's sleep and not to wake up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
With all the guilt and remorse. It was like, wow, this is great. And sleep ever since has just been just been fantastic. And I started using a sleep app as well to track my sleep. And I found that really, really handy, which was great.
Yeah.
And speaking of apps, like a sober app, I also started using a sober app to count my days initially. Mm. I don't bother counting anymore, but I still have that running in the background. So it lets me know for the big milestones. It's like, yay, that's so exciting.
Yeah. I'm guessing that you, like me, although you already kind of had that spirituality set, you know, that sense of spirituality, that consciousness, I'm guessing that something really changed for you, once you ditched the booze, that upped a level and you could probably, just like me, actually start to like yourself and become and step into that authentic kind of spiritual self.
Oh, totally. The whole shift that happened, and whether it was because I'd never actually meditated before either. I was one of those people like, I can't meditate. I can't switch off.
Yeah. I can't be with myself for 20 minutes, for God's sake.
I couldn't. And one of my really good friends, the only person that I actually told I was doing this, is a very spiritual person who teaches Tai Chi, and she's done yoga all her life. And I actually asked her in one of our walks one day, I said, how do you meditate? Can you show me and teach me? So we just sat there out in nature by the water and I said, oh, so is this what you do? So ever since then, I've just sort of worked it to myself. And I thought, well, it's not that hard after all. It's just taking that time for yourself. And whereas when I was drinking, I used to actually look in the mirror and say to myself, I hate you, I hate you.
Yeah.
And this time. Now it's shifted so much, I can actually feel inside and I say to myself, I actually love you.
I love that. I mean, this is something I say.
It all comes from within.
Yeah, it really does. And that's so important, you know, that I'm really glad you shared that, because I've got a client at the moment who's going through something like that. And she admitted to me that that's exactly what she does. She actually says, you know, regularly says, I hate myself. And, it gives me a little, you know, thump in the stomach when I even think of it, because, you know, I used to be the same, even though I was constantly talking about self-care and spirituality and all of this stuff. I just didn't get applied to me. And it's actually quite shocking, because when you think that that's the message we're sending to our unconscious mind, you know, if there was a child standing next to us, and the words were coming out loud, we'd be had for abuse, the stuff we say to ourselves, right? Incredible.
And you just don't realize it. And the whole shift since I've stopped drinking, for myself, the self-care, I'd never heard of self-care before. So it's just really become something that I prioritize these days. It's so important.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I called my new business. So I'll go back a little step here. So after the big shift, I actually had what I felt like was a total soul awakening.
Yeah.
And it's just been, everything's just changed. My vibration has just gone up such a level. Just, I think giving up alcohol shifts your vibration.
It really does. It really does. I really believe that. And I think at the moment it's so important for people to keep their vibrations high. You know, I don't know what it's like in Australia, but certainly in the UK, you know, if the government had their way, we'd all be very low vibration. We'd all be kept in fear and panic the whole time, and guilt and stress, and oh my goodness, you know, we have to take it on ourselves to rise above it. We really do. We really have to keep our vibes high. So yeah, that's so true. I'm going to ask you a bit more about your business in a moment, but just tell me a bit about, you know, I'm really interested how, you know, you were saying that in those early weeks, and you had all these challenges and all these social events and all the rest of it, and you didn't necessarily know anyone else who was in the same situation in the early days. So what happened for you over time? Did you find that you were able to fit back into social situations, or was there anything tricky there around the new dynamics?
Not tricky in a sense that I felt triggered all the time. There was only one occasion where I really did feel triggered, and we'd actually gone for a big Navy reunion interstate to Hobart, and it was a big boozy weekend. Like, you can imagine a whole bunch of Navy people all coming together after, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, and it was all about the booze. But I stayed strong. But it was only when I think someone, it was my husband, had poured a glass of nice white wine for himself. Mm. And he doesn't normally drink wine. He normally drinks beer or red wine. And I'm looking at that glass of wine thinking, that should have been mine. That was mine. And then that was the only time it actually, I'm like, no, you don't want this.
But were you accepted by your friends? Or did you find that there were any relationships that kind of naturally fell away in your social circles? Yeah.
Some relationships have fell away. My what I call my boozy girlfriends. So they after a while they stopped inviting me to functions and things that they would organise, and right. And I was fine with that. And also too, it coincided with lockdown and COVID, and I was pretty much like, look, I don't really want to go out there at this time, sort of thing. So that was fine, but I also became what I found to be my daughter would call me, oh, Mum, you're a trendsetter, or, you know, you're an influencer. Because I would then start, I really owned my sobriety after a while, and then I started to tell people about, oh, look, I'm feeling really fabulous, you know, I'm not drinking, and I really put it out there. I stopped hiding it.
And fantastic.
Then I wanted to let everyone know. So I was in the minority, but I was one of the only people around the place that wasn't drinking. So I felt chuffed, actually.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for other people who were drinking in the end.
And I know that, you know, it's a conversation we quite often have in the Sober Club, that you know, that it would appear that the UK is quite a long way ahead of you guys in some ways, with sort of, you know, alcohol-free bars and with lots of things going on and with loads of choice of drinks, masses of choices. But I know you guys are catching up, and just this week or the last couple of weeks, you posted something about an alcohol-free bar. And so things are definitely changing, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. In the last 6 months, it's just boomed, and there's so many new alcohol-free places that are popping up that you can go online, and they will get in all the drinks from all around the world.
Oh, basically. Great.
You can just order, so many of those popping up now, which is great. So and alcohol-free bars, I'm supposed to visit one next weekend in Melbourne, but due to lockdown, another trip cancelled.
Oh wow. But tell us about your work then, because I know you've got a real heart, you know, to work with women and to share your message further.
So this all started last year in lockdown. I was actually stood down for 4 months, and during that time I was meditating a lot more. I had plenty of time to think about things, and in a meditation it actually came to me that I needed to be doing more with my experience and what I've learned, and I need to be helping more people, and coaching came up. I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So I looked into coaching, and it's all just organically started to evolve, I suppose I could say, since last year. And So then I did start a coaching course last September and got a diploma in life coaching. Then that has taken me down another road as well. And within that, there was the NLP training, there was matrix therapies training, I've done conscious hypnosis training. Happiness. And then Jolene Park sort of came along and it was like gray area drinking. And then I'm like, this is where I need to go. This is what I need to specialize in. This is what my soul is telling me to do, basically.
Fantastic.
So I trained with Jolene as well, which was wonderful.
And do you think you'd have done any of those things if you'd still been drinking?
Nothing, no.
Really? Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing how people's lives literally transform? How incredible.
Totally. And that's where I feel I'm being led. So that's why I had to call my new venture Soul Awakening, because that's what happened to me. I've had a whole brand new awakening and how I want to help others.
Yeah.
And in my community mainly is where I'd like to start. So, and I know for a fact that there's so many more women out there just like me that who still feel that shame, that don't want to speak about it, that don't want to come forward. So if I can just make it, just put it out there and sort of be vulnerable myself and just say, listen, I know it happens. I've walked that, you know, that journey and I'm here to help you. So hopefully, yeah. And already it's funny, I've had a connection with a sober club member last year who actually lives in my hometown.
Oh, wow. Is that Amanda?
No, another one.
Okay. Oh, fantastic.
But anyway,
I'm really pleased.
Connected through the sober club.
Good. Fantastic. That's great.
And that's what made me realise, I know that there are people in my community that also need help.
Yeah,
and just
absolutely.
Someone to talk to. So, yeah.
Oh, that's really good.
So I've taken this journey.
Yeah. Exciting. So exciting. So would you have any just kind of last, I don't know, last tips or any one little thing you'd like to, one little bit of encouragement you'd like to give to anyone who's maybe at the start of the journey?
Oh, just be kind to yourself, really, and just take on board all the information that's out there now too. And that's what really helped me in the early days was lots of Quitlet. I just couldn't get enough of Quitlet. Mm-hmm. There was all the books out there, and Happy, Healthy, Sober, I think, is the new Bible.
Oh, thank you.
And also podcasts, because when I found your podcast, I was 6 months into my journey of sobriety. And when I first, I can't remember where I came across you, but I just heard it driving and I'm like, wow, this is what I need. It was like getting sober and the what's next. I'm like, that's where I'm at. I need the what's next. And I found just your podcast right from the very first one.
And I'm like,
yeah, right. It's just sort of, once again, the universe put us in touch. And I'm like, wow, this is fabulous. This is just so, you were so refreshing. And it was just, I just thoroughly enjoyed listening. I haven't missed a podcast every Saturday.
Well, it sounds like we had such a similar experience, didn't we, really? You know, very, very similar in the sense that, you know, we weren't at rock bottom and seemingly fine, and yet, you know, underneath it's all going off. So anyway, it's fabulous having you as part of the Sober Club. I love your, you know, the way you're always so supportive of other people, and I think it's amazing that you know, that we have a community where people can be sort of brand new on day one, and they're, so you can sort of, you know, they're trying to find their feet, and then people like you who are 3 years sober. But there really is something for everyone, because there's always another goal, isn't there, as you've shown yourself, which is, that's, you know, you never stop kind of transforming with this gig, really.
Oh, absolutely. And sobriety just opens up so many new pathways and new, even adventures, and seeing some of the other Sober Club members, what they do. And I'd never thought that I'd had tried dragon boat racing. That was something totally outside my sphere.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yep. It just makes you want to try new things and do new things. You have so much more energy and life. Stand up paddle boarding.
Oh, wow. Oh, now you really are putting me to shame. But I suppose that's...
I've only tried it. I keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. It's this sense of joy, isn't it, that comes in, which, you know, is very difficult to explain to somebody. If you'd have told me about that sense of joy 4 years ago, I really wouldn't have had any idea what you were talking about, really. Just, it's just like, I would just think, well, that's for someone else. That's that's how other people feel, not people like me, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, really. Isn't
it, it all comes from within, and I love the term now, you know, FOMO or JOMO. And
yeah.
I'd so rather the JOMO.
Yeah,
so the joy brilliant. Of missing out.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic.
And thank, well, and thank you so much for all your work in the Sober Club. Really, really appreciate it. All the guests that you get on. It's just amazing. Such education, information and knowledge. It's
yeah.
Really,
well, we're just all, you know, we want to be as healthy and happy as we can be, right? Happy, healthy, sober. That's the title.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, Cindy. I really appreciate it. So if you want to tell us your website where people can find out more about your coaching work.
Okay, well, my website actually just went live yesterday, and so another something that I'm really excited about, and it's all coming together for my 3 year soberversary, but it's just soulawakeninglifecoach.com.au.
Brilliant. So what are you going to do to celebrate your soberversary then?
A bit of pampering, I think, won't go astray. So I have a nice massage booked and a pedicure, I think.
Nice.
Maybe a nice Liars cocktail in the evening.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, yeah, Australia. I mean, the home of Liars, for goodness sake. So you can't be that far behind us. You know?
Oh, no. Can I quickly just share something that's happening for me at the end of the month?
Mm.
If any Sober Club members in Australia would like to come along, they're more than welcome. I'm hosting an alcohol-free cocktail event as a fundraiser for a charity that I support here called Look Good, Feel Better.
Oh, great.
And I was so chuffed last week to have Liars come on board.
Oh, how fantastic.
And they're actually sending a mixologist or two down from Sydney to make all the cocktails for me, which is going to be fabulous.
So this is happening at the end of July?
Yeah, 30th of July.
Yeah, and it's an in-person event, right? Where is it?
It is, actually. So it's in Bury in New South Wales. So if there's any...
Amazing. Any podcast listeners.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Fantastic. Brilliant.
More than welcome to come along.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Cindy. I really appreciate your time, and have a sensational soberversary. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janie, and I really appreciate the opportunity to chat.
So don't forget, if you want that connection that Cindy was talking about, it really is the important piece of all this, being connected, being able to give back to other people who are coming up and people just starting out and, you know, just get inspired by those who are ahead of you. You know where to find us, thesoberclub.com. It's our community. You can join our membership. It's still open at the moment for new members. And membership includes our online course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze, which is worth 197 quid or something. So you get that. You get a whole bunch of fabulous hypnosis audios when you join us. We have so many amazing experts in there contributing to what we do. Oh, by the way, depending on when you're listening to this, there may still be space on our Sober Club session on Monday, which I'm opening up to anyone who wants to join us, but spaces are very limited. It's a session with Tim Van Fleet, who is a Wim Hof trainer, and he's doing a special session for us on breathing techniques. Tim is going to be offering an online course, a 6-week online course for people who really want to deep dive into how I know it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Because we all breathe, right? We're alive. But it is incredible how learning specific breathing techniques that cover all kinds of modalities, the stuff that Tim does, can really make a difference for you in terms of your reducing stress and anxiety, changing your mood, even overcoming cravings. So Tim's going to be doing some of that with us in a Zoom session on Monday. As I say, very limited spaces. So go to thesoberclub.com and scroll to the blog posts and you'll see the info there. If that's of interest for you, it's Monday evening, UK time, Monday 12th of July. But get in quick if you want to join us on that one. So yeah, as I was saying, masses of great experts in the Sober Club, usually they're exclusive to members. And it's, you know, though I say so myself, really, really worth it. Amazing value. So I hope you'll think about joining us. I promised you this little chat with Richard from Drinks. So let's hear it.
I'm so pleased my guest is Richard Clark, who is the founder and MD of British Alcohol-Free Craft Brewers Drinks Unlimited, and that's drinks with a Y. Richard, you've got something of a background in this industry. You really do know your no and low alcohol, right? So I'd love to hear a little bit about how you kind of got started in all of this, and then we'll talk about your great drinks.
Thanks. Great to meet you, Janie. Great to meet you. So I guess I've done a full circle in terms of started out many, many, many years ago with Britvic and working on Pepsi Max from America. Then went from Pepsi Max into the beer world. And I was involved with the Carling Premiership. And then I moved a full circle and entered the world of the Nola market.
Mm. And what was the reason for that? Did you see, I mean, what year was that for starters? Because, of course, you know, most people who listen to this podcast will know that, you know, have heard me say lots of times and heard other people talk about the fact that the rise of the no and low alcohol market has been literally unbelievable in what feels like a very short space of time. Is that true for you?
Now we're talking of the late 90s. So it's been in my repertoire and my thinking for that amount of time. At that time, it was Barbican, it was Swan Light, it was Klaus Tyler, or it was a water,
yeah,
or it was a very sugared orange juice, or it was not the coffees you expect today from the branded coffee makers, but percolated. So tiptoeing over the bar and being disappointed in the mid-90s, and it lived with me. And in my head, there was always this phrase in my heart, what do you drink when you can't drink or when you don't want to drink? And it lived with me all that time, despite staying in the alcohol world. And that manifested itself from that tiptoeing, looking over the bar, drink, you couldn't drink and drive. What happened in 2017, I was a bit poorly. And it really was a life-changing moment, if you ask my brother. I just said, I have to start my own business. And it was a moment where this phrase of rethinking drinking. I just knew there was something there because I had to treat life differently after my small illness and enjoy life, but enjoy life differently.
Mm.
And yeah. that manifested itself into sitting down with an old friend called John Thornton. And we sat down on a rainy Saturday after the first day I came out of hospital, whereby I'm actually working up a business plan with him on rethinking drinking.
Mm.
And it started in early 2017, over 20 years previously, thinking about what can I drink when I can't drink?
Mm.
And that's when it all started.
Yeah, because so you've got this, tell us about this approach that you have, which is quite unique, this cool vacuum distillation. Is that what it's called?
CBD or top down. So basically that is where you start with real beer, real cider, real lager at 5.5%. And then you have to find a way without destroying the flavors of taking the alcohol out.
Mm.
And it's all about being genuine, giving somebody something they want today and they will have tomorrow again and again, and be true to yourself, and true to the product. So it really was beer. It really was cider, but go from 5.5% to 0.05, which is classed as alcohol free.
Mm. So you've still got all the complex flavor in the beer and the cider, but you know, as you say, you don't have the alcohol. But I noticed as well that your drinks are gluten free, and that's really cool because you know I do find a lot of people who you know are ditching the booze also don't want gluten in their drinks.
So it's a case of we have tried to get as many of the lifestyle choices in our drinks as possible.
Mm.
So gluten-free wherever possible, definitely vegan, but also we're mindful of calories. And that's why we put the calories on the bottle, because we avoid sugar at all costs wherever we can. Yes, glucose does give some mouthfeel benefits, but obviously it then adds on to the calories. So calories as well as the vegan and the gluten is really important to us.
Yeah. You must tell us about your Dragon's Den appearance. What was that like?
Never to be repeated.
I bet it was really nerve-wracking. I've heard people say that you're in there for hours on end. Of course, the end result that we see on the telly is very short, but apparently it's quite gruelling. Is that right?
So it was over 3 hours actually under the camera.
Wow!
It was the whole day there, and the producers and the team behind the program were brilliant, but when the door slid open, I actually said to myself, I hope I wasn't heard on the microphone. What the heck am I doing here?
Yeah.
And the doors don't move very quickly and they're very noisy. And it's just like, and then all you see is these five people sitting down going, we're ready for you for lunch.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Eat you alive. But Peter Jones said, I was quite surprised. I didn't think it'd taste even close to an alcoholic drink, but I'm quite surprised how close it is. And Deborah Meaden said that tastes really good. And then you got an offer from Sarah Davis. So it didn't go too bad for you. Great, great publicity for you.
Indeed. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So where, you know, I've read that you know, with your sort of, you know, this great banner, Rethinking Drinking, you know, what's your plan? You know, what would you like to see for the future of no and low alcohol drinks?
Janie, I think what I'd like it to be is that we're one of a number of British brands that are out there consistently performing, delivering new products, giving the consumers what they want, and just allowing consumers to experiment, because the more choice there is, the better the competition, the better the quality. It gives it sustainability, because I think there's been a number of false dawns, all driven by the availability of a range of drinks, whether it's beer, wine, cider, lager, spirits. The more choice, the more competition, the better. And I'd like to be part of that and become a regular part of the regular repertoire of shopping basket or in a pub.
Mm.
And that people, as we spoke about before, is it's a positive choice. It's a sociable choice. You're happy to share and tell your friends, your mates, and to be drinking it and seen drinking it. And that's really, really important, because it's not a drink in itself. It's a lifestyle. It's a concept. And for me, when I go into a coffee bar, whoever that is, I want there to be a choice that there's one there. Mm. So it's not just cappuccinos or orange juices or sparkling water. But no low becomes an option that transcends alcohol and soft drink.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got your packaging's funky. I love it. You know, you look great standing drinking that, so that's cool. Just remind us what products you've got then, and whether, I mean, can we get any in the pubs at the moment or any bars at the moment?
We're available in supermarkets, in Booths and Sainsbury's. So we did a smash lager. We moved on to a smashed citrus, you might know it as a shandy. Then we did the two ciders, I think you referred to before, which is the apple and the berry. And then we moved on to a more complex smashed pale ale, because there's been a growing American craft market in the cans. And both Booths and Sainsbury's take the lager and the pale ale. And we're beginning to sell more cider through Booths and through the online business.
Mm. Excellent. I mean, I'm not normally a cider drinker at all. I don't think I've had it since I was a teenager, and even then I don't think I liked it. I only had it because it was cheap. But yours was great. It tastes really good. It's great for a, you know, summer's evening. Really nice.
That's kind of you, but it's because it goes back to this top down, which is you can't change the molecular laws of physics.
Yeah,
it's got that mouthfeel of cider, and it's really important that we spent that 3 years of research. And Les Norton and I worked for 3 years on it, sleeping overnight sometimes in breweries up and down the UK on sandbags. Of this idea of having real cider, not destroying the flavour through too much heat, and delivering something that you thankfully and generously said is a nice product.
Mm. Definitely. Richard Clark, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. All the best. And maybe, you know, I interview you in a year's time, and it will be fascinating to see how the industry has grown and what other magic you've created.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard. And we've got a competition to give some away as well. Don't forget, lots of my competitions and various bits and bobs to do with optimum health and well-being are at imperfectlynatural.com. So I know I'm giving you two places to go, but you'll find loads of stuff there. A lot of brands that have entered the Platinum Awards, everything to do with natural skincare and beauty and cleaning your home without chemicals and on and on and on, all of that stuff. So thank you to all those who voted for me in the British Podcast Awards. The nominations are closed now. So, you know, case of crossing your fingers, I guess. But I really, really appreciate it. Do please drop me a line if you want to share anything, if there's any podcasts that you've particularly enjoyed. I'd always love to hear from you. There's a really massive airplane going overhead. I don't know if you can hear it. Clearly, I need a bit more soundproofing in this studio. So always drop me a line. You can find me. I'm very findable on social media at Janie Lee Grace. I love hearing from you. I've had a couple of really lovely messages this week from people who are just saying, you know, they found the podcast and it's just changed everything, because now they're able to focus on the, you know, on the what's next, focus on a better life without the booze. And it makes it all worthwhile, right? I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.